Temperature right now is 34 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time coming up on 8:50. Good morning. It's time now for the pre-opening market report on WYLL with our Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. home building contracted in November after surging the previous 2 months. Housing starts decreased 3% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 861,000. Analysts expect federal data on Friday to show a smaller number of young replacement cattle were added to U.S. feedlots in November compared with a year ago. Analysts expect USDA to report about 1.856 million head of young cattle were added to feedlots last month. If correct, the number of cattle added would be 8.8% below the same month a year ago. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 110,000 metric tons of hard red winter wheat for delivery to Egypt during the 2012-2013 marketing year. The marketing year for wheat began on June the 1st. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Blizzard warnings will continue today across a portion of the upper Midwest as one of the biggest snow events of the season gets underway. The snow is already focusing mostly on hard red winter wheat country at this hour, with an increase in precipitation starting to evolve across a part of the west central U.S. plains. The storm system looks rather innocent on the charts at this hour, with not much in the way of significant snowfall occurring. A little bit of light shower activity is occurring across a portion of the central plains. The showers are in the forms of some light rain and some drizzle. Most of the significant snow is in the Nebraska Panhandle and parts of north central Colorado. What's interesting to note is the low pressure center is currently located in west central Kansas. The winds are beginning to pick up, notably in eastern Colorado, with sustained speeds of 20 to 30 miles per hour. And this is just the beginning. The storm system will move from western Kansas through a portion of the western Corn Belt and into the upper Midwest over the next 36 hours. And in the wake of the storm's movement will be substantial amounts of snow from Nebraska through Iowa into Wisconsin. We'll likely see anywhere from 4 to 10 inches across Iowa, maybe 2 to 6 across Nebraska with some locally greater amounts near the Iowa border. And then we'll likely see the portions of Wisconsin getting anywhere from 8 to as much as 15 inches from the storm system. It is going to be a blizzard for many of these areas. The wind speeds will be sustained at 20 to 30 and some gusts of 40 miles per hour. In fact, there'll be some gusts out there in the plains reaching up 50 miles per hour here later this afternoon. And we do expect to see the travel across these states being just absolutely horrendous later this evening and into the night tonight, so be aware of that. And travel is going to be a problem out of the Chicago area as we go through the day tomorrow, as conditions across that region deteriorate rather quickly. The storm system will be focused more on Wisconsin, but we'll certainly see a fair amount of snow in northwestern and north central sections of Illinois, with lighter amounts in the Chicago area, but still enough to cause a disruption to air travel as well as some land travel issues as well. A lot of this precipitation will put at least some potential out there for some increases in runoff later when the snow melts. Portions of the middle Mississippi and lower Missouri River basins could see an increase in runoff as the snow melts, but the question is, when will that occur? There will be some melting that will take place over the weekend as a little bit of a warming trend starts to take place, so maybe slowly we'll put a little bit more moisture into the river systems, but don't look for the barge restrictions to be notably changed during any part of this next couple of weeks. There are two other storm systems expected to impact the Midwest as we move forward in time. Before I talk about those, let me just cover the rain event on this first system. We will see rain occurring from the Delta and portions of the Tennessee River Basin northward into the lower eastern Midwest, and moisture totals will run a quarter to three-quarters of an inch with local amounts to 1.5 inches from this event. That adds more runoff potential for many areas that are already wet and experiencing some notable runoff in the past storm system or two. Now, the next system that impacts the Midwest is no longer the big major storm system that was suggested yesterday. It's a smaller system. It impacts the region early next week. and it produces rain and snow in a light manner. I think the storm system will change additionally in future model runs, so be aware of that. A third storm system will likely impact the Delta and the southeastern states during the middle part of next week, and it will move northeastward to impact much of the northeastern part of the country and the eastern Midwest. That storm system may produce a significant amount of snow in the lower eastern Midwest, and we'll watch that closely. Temperatures across the region are going to be cooling down as the storminess increases, but it will still be warm today in many areas with 40 and 50 degree highs in the eastern Midwest, 20 and 30 degree readings in the west. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow only in the teens and 20s in the western Corn Belt, while the 40s and 50s continue in the east, and then that cooler air will expand to the east as we move into Friday. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 13,345, down 5 points. The NASDAQ, 3,056, is up just over 2. The S&P 500 at 1,445 is down about 1.5 points. Here is the electronic trade overnight. March wheat in Kansas City, 869 and a quarter, is up 8 3/4. March wheat in Chicago is 820 and a half. It's up 9 1/4. March corn is 719 and a quarter, down 3/4. July, 721, down 3/4. December 13, 623 and a half, up 1/2. January soybeans, 1465 and a quarter, down 3/4. March, 1458 and a half, down 2. July, 1431 and a half, down 1. November, 1313, up 3. January soybean meal, 44430, down 60. January soybean oil, 4928, up 11. December live cattle, 128.12 and a half, down 10. January feeders, 152.50, up 30. February lean hogs, 85.77 and a half, and they are up 50 as well. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Happy holidays to you, Bill.
Happy holidays to you. Glad to be with you.
Wheat is the leader to the upside this morning, and I suppose not surprising given that Egypt went and bought some.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a nice stimulating catalyst because, you know, we got a little bit of export sales. And I also think that yesterday's news out of Argentina with the idea that they were going to curtail some of their exports, not necessarily banning them or anything like that, but basically reducing the amount of their export quotas definitely gave the market a little bit of stability.
Their poor harvest is well known, so the government taking a little bit of a bull by the horns there probably gave a little impetus to the marketplace.
Yeah, a little precautionary measures. Like I say, I don't think they're going to necessarily curtail exports to any great degree, but just definitely put out a little bit of a warning sign.
And if you look at the U.S. dollar, the one commodity that really is affected pretty strongly by it, and more than some others, is the wheat market. Dollar looks like it wants to fall out of bed.
Well, I think realistically, as we try to get this fiscal cliff issue solved, what it probably means is that we're probably going to have some additional monetizing of the debt. It's tough to tell the details, but in the broad scope of things, that's probably the direction that most people think will go, and that's probably going to help the wheat market a little bit more.
Producers, some are already beginning to think about marketing their 2013 crops, mm-hmm. getting a start on it. They cannot be happy that December 13 corn has lost about 1/4 in 2 weeks.
No, and I think realistically what we've tried to tell guys is you look at it from a value perspective. Don't pick prices, but look at the value. If you know your land costs, your machinery costs, you know what your fertilizer is going to cost, and you still have a profitable margin, you can look at making some sales in there. But two things ahead of that is you don't know your crop insurance value yet. We have done some cost comparisons against option prices against last year's cost of crop insurance, and you can do some marketing in that direction. But I would say it's probably a little bit early, and probably more importantly, we're watching the weather, because when you look at the forward curve on prices, the price direction is definitely to the downside. But if we do not recharge soil moisture, if we do not get good precipitation over the winter, we feel that the yield prospects for next year are not as encouraging as we'd like them to be, and that that forward curve will probably take a different direction, and the deferred prices could easily work their way higher. So what we'd like to do is, in that direction, if we're going to look at making some forward sales for next year, make sure that we do flexible strategies and don't get ourselves committed to too many bushels, because it's definitely an open-ended equation.
It's interesting how the drought has fallen off the radar of most people.
Yeah, it really has. I think, you know, what we've looked at is river levels and look and listen to the Mississippi news and things like that. We've had a little bit of rain that's maybe given them a little bit more water to deal with. But in the broad strokes, the drought mm-hmm. monitor has not changed that much. And what we're concerned about is when you look at the water levels in a lot of our tributaries. What was that?
10 seconds.
Okay. The tributaries are really low, and we think that the impact on the overall profile of moisture is definitely significant.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.